Amen. Amen. How is everybody doing here this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning? You may go and have your seats there in your beautiful home where the presence of the Lord has entered. Worship team, you may have your seats as well. I'm real excited here this morning. Amen. To be able to share the gospel in the times that we're living in. Amen. I mean, how much more important is the gospel of truth that is not only able to set the captive free, amen, of sin, bondage from Egypt, but is also able to remove fear and replace it with the faith in this time that we're living in. If there's ever a time we've needed faith, it's now. And faith who the Lord truly is and who He says He is through His Word. And I believe as you're viewing here this morning via Facebook, I want you to just look back right now. And all that the Lord has seen you through. And that's what I'm going to be speaking about here this beautiful Sunday morning. Working on the lighting. I believe the lighting should be a little bit better there in your home now. It's going to keep getting better and better. Amen. My pastor, Herb, would always say it's going to keep getting gooder and gooder. Amen. So once again, it's good to have y'all. For those that haven't seen me in a while, amen, it's good to see you here this morning through Facebook, amen. The weather's getting nicer outside, amen. But there's nothing that could ever top the presence of the Lord and what He's wanting to do here this morning in your heart, within your life, within your thinking. Putting the Lord first is just so important. It's just so important, amen. And once again, I just want to rephrase and repeat what Pastor Felipe already said in regards to the prayer chain. Amen. Our slot is 7 a.m. every morning. And I believe we're going to continue to pray strategically over real important targets until the virus lifts. Amen? We're going to continue to pray. We should already have praying lives. Amen? We're just putting new targets in your praying life. Amen? So here this morning, as we go to the Word of the Lord here this day, I know you're nice and comfortable there within your home. But I still want you to be focused. The kids might be running around. Somebody might be talking right now that wouldn't be talking if you were in church. So let's give reverence unto the Lord here this day. And I want you just to settle in your home right now. To focus, to not be distracted, so that the Lord will be able to lead you through His Word. I want you to act like pastors in your living room right now. And if I was, would some of you be doing the things you're doing right now? But it's not about pastor. The Lord is in your living room right now. Wherever you're viewing the broadcast right now, so I'm going to give you a few more moments there to settle in, to get a few people maybe in your living room focused. TV's turned off if you're going strictly off of your phone. Amen. Get things right in your house right now, as if you were on the front row of the church here this morning. Amen. You heard my amen. But I heard your all's amen also, amen? does Pastor do it? He's in my living room already. Amen. We're still in the same theme because we serve a progressive God that is always in control and always taking the church forward. So because of the virus, we have not changed the theme of a time to build. I believe times are greatest right now to build the temple of God, which is you and I. Times have never been any greater, any better than now. And allowing your spiritual life to be dialed in to what the Lord wants to do in and through your life. I believe the presence of the Lord is here, and that the person of the Holy Spirit is already speaking. The title of the message here this morning is A Time to Build in Uncertain Times. A time to build in uncertain times. How many know right now that it's kind of hard to figure out what's taking place before us within the times that we're living in right now with the coronavirus that's taking place worldwide? But I thank the Lord that we got that covered in Jesus. Because we have a worldwide international ministry all around the world as well, just as much as the virus is. This virus has been here just for a minute. Our international ministry has been all around the world in over 50 years now, with a great power and authority, and being able to use people like you and I in building the kingdom of God. I believe when we were lost and bound in our sin, in our bondage, that we too didn't know what was before us. Death, prison, divorce, losing our children. We've been here before. We have been here before, contemplating and trying to think the courtroom out on your sentencing day. You didn't know which way the sentencing was going to go. That was in the hands of the judge of the courtroom. We've been here before. And we serve a God that has been faithful. And we're going to go back in time here this morning. We're going to reflect on what Jesus has already done in your life and in my life. And that alone should allow us to see in faith what is before us. As we go into the word of the Lord, I'm going to share two verses here this beautiful day that I believe the Lord has given me for such a time as this. As we go to the book of Numbers, chapter 33, verses 1 and 2. I would challenge some of y'all to get a notebook, get a pen, and to write down what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to your home, to your life, to your family, to the calling upon your life. Why do I ask to write it down? For one, it's important. For two, it's something new. And as we read in Scripture today, we would see how God would call Moses to write down certain things. Because one, they were important, and two, he was doing something new. They were journeying through the wilderness unto the promised land. So here this day I challenge you to get up, say, I'm going to go get a pen right now. I'm going to go get a notebook real quick. Because I believe it's important and new. And to be able to retain something that is important, it's a little bit easier when you write it down and you're able to go back to it and remember what the Spirit of the Lord has spoken into your life. Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 and 2 of the Bible reads, "This is the route." In other words, this is the direction the Israelites followed as they marched out of Egypt. Pastor's going to be taking us all the way back to Egypt today. Amen? This is the route the Israelites followed as they marched out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. At the Lord's direction, he would use Moses and Aaron, but the source, verse 2 says, would come from the Lord's direction. Moses kept a written record. He kept a written record. He would write some things down as they were journeying through the wilderness, as the Lord directed him. He would write things that were important, things that took place that were good, he would write them down. Then I believe he had another list of things that didn't go too good, and he would write them down. And I thank the Lord that he was obedient in the writing down of the direction that was led by God, that we would have it here today to be able to read what was written by Moses as they were journeying out of Egypt unto the promised land. I thank the Lord that he was obedient, that he wrote it down so that I could read it to you today. And it's just as important, even more important, 2,000 years later than when it was first given by the Lord to Moses. So once again, I challenge you to write down what the Lord is going to give you today. Because it's not just for you. It's for your marriage. It's for your children. You might have to go back to this message a month from now, and it's going to be written down. At the Lord's directions, Moses kept a written record of their progress. These are the stages of their march, identified by the different places where they stopped along the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you are already speaking. and that it's so important, so fresh, so new, and you're leading us to write it down. And I pray, Lord Father God, that you touch that man in his living room here this morning. I pray that you touch that woman in her living room here this morning. I pray that you touch that youth in that living room here this morning, Lord. That you would stir them unto obedience here this day. Remove me to the side, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, give you full permission into our dwelling places, but most importantly, into our hearts and lives. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. I want us to reflect back to when Jesus first took us out of Egypt. For some of you, that could have been 20 to 30 years ago when it took place. For some of you, it could have been 5 through 20 years ago when Jesus took you out of Egypt, out of bondage, and set you free. For some of you, it could have been recently, up to 5 years. But nevertheless, he took us out of Egypt in our darkest time, covered without and within with the virus called sin. He washed us with his precious blood, something mom and dad couldn't do, something a wife or a husband, children, the greatest job couldn't do. Jesus did something great in removing you and I from Egypt. And it's so great that it's worth going back to reflect here this morning on his faithfulness and his goodness for your life and my life. Whether it's been recently or 30 years ago that you were taken out of Egypt, nevertheless, the route out of Egypt will always call for us to follow. The route out of Egypt will always call a man or woman to follow, as we go back to the verse 1. This is the route the Israelites followed as they marched out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. Each and every one of us needed somebody to be that leader, that voice, to lead us out of Egypt, a place we knew well, but to lead us outside of Egypt to the promised land, this was all new. And because it was new, we needed a leader. We needed leadership to get to the promised land. So, in leaving Egypt, we will need to learn how to follow in obedience. And 2, in leading Egypt, we will also need leadership. Real powerful points off of verse 1. Obedience and following is needed Secondly, it's going to require a leadership in the church to not only get men and women and youth out of Egypt, but to lead them to the promises of God. In verse 2, the Bible records that Moses kept a written record of their progress. At the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. In the crisis we're facing right now, it's important to be able to reflect back on how God saw us through when there was no way out of Egypt. It's important here this day, because we can't see what's before us. It's uncertain. There's times that we need to look back and reflect and see the faithfulness of God. And in that time, he used Moses and Aaron, the Bible says. In the times that we live in today, he uses our founder, Pastor Sonny Argazzoni, along with his wife, Sister Julie, the eldership, the multi-regionals, the regionals, the pastors, and so on. In taking us and fulfilling the promises of God that have been given to our international ministry all around the world. We all have a progress report to reflect back on. It's called our testimony. We all have a progress report. There's times where we were rolling through that wilderness. God was moving. He was leading us. And there's times that we can think in our minds right now on God's goodness and faithfulness and seeing us through our darkest time of our lives. And then there's some times through the wilderness, because it was new and we had to follow in obedience, leadership. There's times that we can reflect back and write on that weren't too good in the process of God taking us out of Egypt and transforming and changing our lives. I'm going to give you a moment right there, because I know the Lord is speaking right now. I want you to write a few things down to be reminded, to reflect on the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord when the Bible says that we couldn't even tell the difference between our right and left hand. I want you to have a column there of some of the things that really stand out of God's faithfulness and goodness. Things there was no way out of, only by death. And somehow or another, Jesus came through at the right time, in our worst time, because his timing is always perfect. So I'm giving you a few moments to write down a few of those things that were God factors that no money could do, no education could ever do. things that only God could do. We all have a progress report. Not because we were that sharp coming out of Egypt, but because we serve a faithful God, a big God of grace and mercy. The Bible says that He carried us as a father or mother would carry a child through those times. We all know the poem of the footprints, where the individual that wrote it said, "In my hardest times, there was only one set of footprints. But when things were going good, I saw two sets of footprints. I saw that you were with me. Why would you leave me alone in the times of one set of footprints, in my hardest times?" And the Lord's response for you and I would be, that was the time that He was carrying us. So as we have written that list down, I want us to make now another column of another list of things that you're not too proud of that you did. Don't be ashamed. Write them down. Because somehow or another, God's grace and mercy still has you right there in your living room hearing the word. His grace and mercy was greater than the bad list that you're writing down right now. If it wasn't, you wouldn't be hearing the word right now. See, because we serve a God of not only the good times, but of the hard times that I spoke on last Sunday. Come on, write that list down. It was easier to write the good list than putting points that were on the backsliding list. Some of you might be living in a backslidden stage right now as you're hearing my voice. I have good news for you. You don't have to remain there. Follow the direction of your leader right now that's being used right now by the Lord's, giving you the Lord's direction. I'm just the vessel He's using right now, bringing godly direction to your life. We all have a progress report to reflect back on. The Bible goes on to say that Moses kept a written record of their progress, one. And he also goes on to say that these are the stages of their march identified by the different places where they had stopped along the way. You can go ahead and remove the scripture, please. Is the camera back on? We're still experimenting, so I'm okay with taking a little break, commercial break. And I believe there's still some on the bad list writing some things down, amen? Just joking. The Bible records that Moses also wrote the different stages of their march, the journey they were on. I put here, how many know when a child is born, there's different stages of growth that they go through? The first one, they're called the newborn. Then they go from a newborn to an infant. From an infant, they go to the next stage of a toddler, to the next stage of preschool to the next stage of school age. Different ages, stages that a newborn goes through. Amen? In each of these stages, certain things are learned. At least they're supposed to be. I believe if we're truthful, many of us didn't learn certain things within the stages of our upraising. There were certain things that mom and dad did not teach us. In the different stages from a newborn to an infant and so on. And because of that, there are certain things missing in your life, missing in my life. And I'm talking about morals. Being taught morals in your upraising. And I believe for the majority of us, we missed out in mom and dad being men of God, a woman of God, rooted in God's word, in a house of prayer, in a house of word, in a house that was being led and directed by the presence of the Lord. So in the physical aspect of looking into our lives when we were born and we went through the different stages, there's many blanks within the different stages that we grew up as a young boy or a young girl that are not there. In our spiritual walk with the Lord, there's certain things that are missing within the stages that the Lord has taken you and I. He starts us off as an infant, amen, as a newborn, as the Bible says, as baby on the pure milk. And I believe some are listening to me here this day. And I'm being nice as I preach. Pastor Felipe preached on repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand on Friday. So if you want to look a little twisted at somebody, finally I have someone to preach a tough message, because I believe too many are being too sensitive in this darkened time that we're living on. And little wattage, little lights are coming on because we don't want to offend nobody. Instead of preaching the gospel, where God is the light of the world. And He has called us also to be the light of the world. And it's important, yes, that we got brighter lights in the church. But we need this light. We need this lamp within our lives, leading our lives in these darkened times that we're living in. You and I need to hear the uncut truth of the gospel. I'm going to get back to being the good cop. I was never the good cop. And I was okay with it. When I would get to preaching, in the background you could hear, bad boys, what you gonna do when the pastor comes for you, bad boys. See, most pastors wouldn't do that on Facebook. This is who I am, and I know the crowd that I'm speaking to. I believe if we are truthful, there's many of us didn't learn certain things within the different physical and spiritual stages of our life. And because of that, we struggle as sons, physical sons, as spiritual sons. We struggle as physical daughters, spiritual daughters. We struggle. As leaders, we struggle. Because we were doing good. But then within certain stages that were always new in our life, where we always needed a leader to follow, things took place. We came to a place to say, I don't need to follow that man no more. I don't need to follow that woman no more. I want to let you know that what you're hearing here this morning comes straight from the direction that the Lord has given me and spoken to me to speak to you. Told Moses, write it down. Write it down. I believe that's the reason many struggle as mothers and fathers. Many struggle in their marriage, as a son, as a daughter, because there's gaps within certain stages of your life that what should be there, that what you should have learned, there's a blank. And that's why we need to walk step for step with the Lord. Our walk is one of faith, not of sight. And it's important that some of you get back to walking with the Lord and following in obedience the leader before you, to become that leader in somebody else's life. That's why not everybody becomes a leader. Too many blanks, too many spaces within the stages where God was trying to show you something, trying to teach you something. And you would rather get angry at the leadership than humble yourself and receive, because where you were at was a place that you have never been before. And that's why it's easier to just say, you know what, I'm going back to Egypt. Because you don't need leadership to get back to Egypt, but you need leadership to get you to the promised land. And that's why we all need to be born again in order to break out of Egypt and to make it in the promises of the Lord and what He has for your life and in my life. Moses also wrote about the stages identified by the different places where they stopped along the way. Moses also wrote about the stages. Go ahead and go to scripture real quick. After I read it, you can turn it right back off. That's in verse 2. At the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. One. And then he goes on to say, these are the stages of their march. Identified by the different places where they stopped along the way. In other words, they didn't stop. Or some of you may say, man, I'm stuck right now, Pastor. There's many places along the way to the promises of God, stages that you and I will go through along the way. And at every stop and every stage, Jesus wants to teach you something. He wants to deposit something into your life So when you reach the location of the promised land, you will be able to stand. You will be able to fulfill the call of God upon your life. You will be able to fight giants because you are obedient in the following of leadership directed by God. At every stop, at every destination along the way. For some, it might have taken a year to learn something. For others, that same area might have took 2 years or 6 months. But that stop was just for a moment until you learn that stage. That stop. And what God was trying to teach your life. It's important. I've been through those many stops, and that's why I can not only speak on them, but I can walk them. And I can show you the way of the different stops along the way, called the process, that every man and woman will go through. There's no way around it. Point. God is able to use different places and times to bring growth to your life. God is able to use different places and times to bring growth to your life. But because it's something new, every one of those stages and places are going to be hard, even though they come from God's direction. They're going to be hard. Not because we serve a hard God, it's just simply we just never been there before. I have a point here that says different places represent something new taking place. Different places will always represent something new taking place within your life. You can travel here within Milwaukee to a place you've never been to, even if it's 10 minutes away. And you still have to use MapQuest. Even though it's 5 minutes away. They tell you the name of the place and you go, I've never been there. I've lived here all my life. I didn't know. Where'd you say again? I know all of Milwaukee. And because you don't know, you go, what's the address? And you got to MapQuest it to get to a place 5 minutes around the corner. More or less somewhere in Chicago, in Texas. There's a route that you need to take in order to get there. There's different stages, different gas stations you'll stop at that you got to fill up. Some of you need to fill up here this morning. You can't make it on one tank of gas, even as cheap as gas is right now. Well, Pastor, how do I fill up? Every morning, there's an Exxon gas station in your house where you can fill up. Some of you might be unleaded. Some of you might fill up with diesel. I don't know. You're a little rough. You're a little loud. But nevertheless, not a one of us, including your pastor, even though I've been around 22, 23 years, where I go without filling up in the morning. We need to know, as the Lord is leading and directing right now, that there's an enemy that wants to remove the gas station from your life. He don't care what house you live in, what apartment you're at, on the good side of town, the hard side of town, the north side, south side. He don't care what type of car you drive, because even a real nice car still needs gas in order to run to get to its destination. These are all hard places. That's why many don't make the wilderness, the journey. It's hard because it's something new. And that's why I want you to reflect back on the goodness of the Lord and all that He has already done in your life. That He will lead you to this new time that we're living in right now. I don't know about you, but this virus thing is this big compared to when I was a dope fiend walking the streets. It don't compare at all. Well, yeah, Pastor, but you were all messed up. You were under the influence. That's why you didn't have no fear and stuff. And yeah, it's true. But now I'm under the influence of the person of the Holy Spirit that says that I serve the same God of yesterday that took me out of Egypt, the same God of today that has me preaching. It's the same God, if tomorrow comes, is going to lead me by His direction if I get to the gas station there in my office. No matter how hard times get, we serve a faithful God that came through when we were lost and bound, when we had nothing to do with the equation of getting out of Egypt. It was what His Son did at the cross. He followed in obedience the direction of the Father. He not only spoke it, but He demonstrated it for you and I here this day. I have a different view, different places where God used within my life. Again, we all have a progress report. Usually when we heard the word progress, it's a good word. But we can progress going the wrong way, amen? Here's a few different places God used in my life that were hard. Not because the places were all messed up. It's just that every place, every stage of the process was something new to my life. I'd never done it before. That's why it was hard. The first one is a place that the Lord stopped me along the way called prison. It was a very hard place that even the toughest guy don't want to be there. It was a very hard place, but yet God used it to bring salvation unto my life. Because of what I did, no, I was in a place of confinement, of separation, isolation from civilization. But nothing could stop the love of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, the stages that God wanted to implement and impart within my life. Not even the prison bars could stop God from coming in my life where I would be broken, giving my life to the Lord while smoking a cigarette. Because even my time of confinement and punishment, God was good to me. Prison was a hard place of many years, but it was a place where the Lord visited me within my prison cell and set me free. Though the bars were still closed and locked within my life, I now was set free in a very, very hard area of my life, in a very difficult stage within my life. The second place that He used, you see, I went back to prison one time. I didn't stay stuck in prison. It was a place that God used to stop my life and to remove everything from my life, that it would just be him and I in a cell. And I believe God is using this time, this virus, to stop you right in your tracks, to have you where he wants you, right there in your living room, to do something great, whether you deserve it or not. I didn't deserve salvation, especially in prison. I didn't get saved at the altars of the church. My prison cell became my altar because of the presence of the Lord. So it was a stop. I haven't been back to prison 22, 23 years later. It was a place that God used to do the greatest work, and that was to set me free. But he needed isolation. He needed one-on-one, and he still gets it every day, 23 years in my office and spending time with him. Because what he did in that prison cell, no man, no woman, mom or dad, money couldn't do. Not even the very keys of the CO, the correctional office, that at times the doors, the gate unlock would take place and you would hear the clanking of iron throughout the prison. And we would be out of our cell, but still confined to the prison walls. The second place that God would use was the Victory Outreach Salinas Church. He would use a man called Pastor Herb. This was a very hard place for me. Going to church with a pack of smokes, checking out all the girls, coming out fresh out of prison. It was so different that I stood in the back row. It was a hard place. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know how to act. I've never been to a church that was alive, that was jumping up and down with hands up, singing at the altar. I didn't know how to respond. It was very hard for me to connect the dots from prison now to a back row of a church with Pastor Herb preaching that eventually would become my best friend. But nevertheless, God would use the Victory Outreach Salinas Church, the man of God, to bring the leadership out of my life. To bring leadership out of my life. The third thing, or should I say, the third place that God used, the third stop along the way within the process that he used, was allowing me to become the men's home director of the rehab there in Salinas. I was saved just for a short period of time. But within that short period of time, I started to follow my leader. I started to do the right thing, even though it was hard. I followed the instructions of my leadership. So the Lord was able to advance me in my progress report to the next stop of the process within my life. And it would be to direct the rehab home. At that time, at any given time, it was 20 or 30 guys in the home. I was young, I was strong. I was willing to fight any guy. I didn't care what side of town they were from, what prison they went to, what gang affiliation they were from. If they would listen to me spiritually speaking, I said, we can do this any way you want. We can take this to the backyard. Because that's where I was at this particular stop within my life. The stops are very important. is to remove the old and to bring in something new that is from God. God is speaking right now. He's speaking right now. You better be taking notes. He's speaking. You're in the process. You're in a hard place that God wants to do something great. Being this director, walking around with raccoon eyes, no sleep. I was brand new married, had little kids, running a bunch of drug addicts in a home. My mom and dad said, ¿Qué andas haciendo, hombre? Translate, what are you doing? You just got married. How are you going to live in a house full of drug addicts? But they didn't understand. The God that took me out of Egypt, what God had done in my life, and how God was stirring me, stirring my faith to continue with the different stops that I had to take in my life to get to where God had called me to be at. Being the rehab director was a very hard position, a very hard stop in my life, but yet developed the pastor within me. It developed the pastor. I was able to pass the test of the progress report. Amen. And I was able to advance to the next stop. Tell your neighbor, there's another stop coming. And it's going to be hard. Not because God's a cruel God, it's just that it's something that you've never done before. That's going to call you to trust your leader. It's going to call you to trust God. At this time, I couldn't see God. All I could see was my leader. And I would follow him, and I would do anything he said. It was an amen. No matter how hard the instruction that was given to me, and no matter how unfair at times it felt, I knew God was doing something at this stop, and I was going to be obedient. I was going to follow the direction because it was coming from God through a man. The fourth stop and place that God would use within my life was a stop called marriage. That stops one out of two people that get married. That removes people from the process of God and getting to the promised land. It was very hard being married. Back then, and I got to be honest, it's very hard 22 years later being married. But it's a stop that had to take place within my life to take me from being with all the girls. God designed one woman to be my wife, for rich or poor, for sickness and health. Good times, hard times. That's a stop that I have to live in the rest of my life till death do us part. It's one that God has used, even though it was very hard. God used the stop called marriage to humble my life. 22 years later, God's still using the stop of marriage to humble my life. The fifth one was the stop called children. Called children. See, all these stops I'm talking about, we all got to go through them. And every stop, every test given by the Lord is meant to be passed, even if it's hard, and even though you haven't done it before. And that's why it's crucial to follow in obedience your leadership. It was children. I never wanted children. I never wanted a wife. I wanted girls, plural, S, apostrophe S. I never prayed for a wife at the altar. I never knew what a rib was. But I know one thing. When I was in Egypt, you could count every one of my ribs. I thought I looked good, that I was cut up. I was so deceived of the enemy, bones from the top all the way to my feet. I was calling it cut up and defined. I was sucked up. Puros huesos, man. Children. Another hard place. One that a stop that will be until death do me part two to the love of my children. As hard as it gets at times, it's worth it. I mean, come on, when do you get a wife as your worship leader? Your daughter, as beautiful as she is, Bianca at the keyboard. And then my son, Elias, at 9 years old, worshiping up here. The only way that could have took place was by getting the stops right. And by receiving the training I needed at every one of those stops to keep this going on. And I have my handsome son, Alex, also. If you're looking, son, I love you with all my heart. The next stop, this is a new note, so I got to turn my notes this way because I ran out of paper room. The next stop was ministry. Another hard place. Ministry's hard. But yet the hard place of ministry got used to equip my life. To equip others. Pastor, I get calls. I don't want to do that ministry no more. Just don't want to do it no more, Pastor. I didn't give you that ministry. God did. We were always taught back in the days of Victor Roberts to always say yes, to always say amen. Whether you wanted to do it or not, to be in obedience and say yes. I'll do it, Pastor. You got it. When do I start? Then I would walk away saying, why did I commit to that? Ministry. Ministry's tough. It's one thing to do ministry. It's another thing to stay in ministry. I've had a lot of people through the years that have done great ministry but are no longer with us. But prayerfully, some of you are watching right now. There's a stop that God wants to show you something right now in your life that needs to be corrected, because His gifts within your life and my life are irrevocable. You can still do it. The church doors spiritually are still open. The body of Christ is still growing. You can still help the church. Give the pastor a call and say, you know what, Pastor, that message you preached today, that was all me. You know what? I want back in, and I will have a place of ministry for your life. I got to get back to that stop, because the Lord stirred me as you speak that there's something more and something greater that He still wants to do, and I know I got to get this stop right. And the final one of these few different places and stops that were hard within my life was a stop in the place called Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You guys ain't no joke. But I love all you guys. Oh, you guys, I'll take any one of you back. But you're going to have to follow the leader. It was a game we played when we were kids. I want to be the leader. Learn to follow. Here are these few destinations and stops and times that I have reflected back and recorded within my heart, within my spirit, brings me to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, another hard place. Another hard place. But yet, this hard place of Milwaukee, Wisconsin has become my promised land. I've shared my journey from Egypt, the many stops along the way of the progress report, though it wasn't a perfect one. Nevertheless, here I am. I've made it to my promised land. And I'm going to stay in my promised land till the Lord takes me home. That is the DNA of our ministry. We remain. When the shaking of the tree comes, the true fruit will remain on the branch because of the goodness and the faithfulness of the vine called Jesus, which is the source for your life and my life. And in every one of those stops, they were all hard. And at every one of those stops, I would get to a place it would be so hard where I thought he wasn't with me. At every one of those places. But never once did I ever say, I give up, I throw in the towel. No. God was too good to me in Egypt, a place that I should have died. I OD'd 15 times. This is for those looking on for the first time. Prostitutes, prison, running the street corners in many hot spots in different states. The enemy also has places and stops along the way to take you back to Egypt. And the reason many take the many stops and places along the way that the enemy has to offer is because it's not something new. We know how to do it. It takes but a second to get back to Egypt. But it's taken me 23 years to get to where I'm at right now. And I ain't giving it up for a second of joy of what one of the stops of the enemy has to offer. From Egypt to the promised land, I put it here in my notes, wow. Verse 2, to the scripture, please. At the ruin, it says, let's go to the third line to the bottom. It says, identified by the different places where they stopped along the way. You can take the scripture off, please. I put here, I never allowed any of these different places to stop me. And every last one of them did what they had to do in order to have me here. I had to learn something at every stop and every stage. And I'm still learning today because there's a full process also, not in the, only in the wilderness, but a process of a progress report and different stages that I pray all of you all will encounter one day of being in the promised land. I didn't allow none of these places, even though they were new, to stop me, but allowed them to make me. And I believe I'm speaking to a man or a woman, a youth member here this day. There's a stop along the way that has stopped you. But I want to let you know the Lord can get you right back on track. I challenge you to learn at the stop you're at right now. Some of you might have to return to that place when you were doing good. Where it was, Pastor, you need anything? You got to get back to that place when things were good. And even though they were hard, things were good. Because you knew you were in obedience, you knew you were following the leadership that was being directed by God. So I asked you a question here this day. What has stopped you? Because that place that has stopped you is not a work of the enemy. It's a work of the Lord. As the worship team makes their way forward, please. It's not the work of the enemy. It's a work of the Lord. I challenge you here this day. If God could do it for me, He can do it for you. There's probably a few stops that you were there for 6 months. That stop took me 2 years to get the victory at. It's not how fast we get to the stops, through the stages, through the progress report. It's that we get every stage correct in our lives. For the Lord can impart and equip us to be able to stand, not just for ourselves, but to be able to stand for others that are dying right now. They were dying way before the virus. This virus is a virus of sin. It's a leprosy, an end-time leprosy. We all had it. We all tested positive for the virus called sin. And there was no vaccination back then that a shot could remove the virus. There's no vaccination today that you can get that will remove the virus of sin. There's only one. Vaccination. There's only one way out of Egypt, and there's only one way out of maybe that fourth stop that you're in right now, and that's Jesus. He loves you. He loves you here this day. And I know the people that I'm ministering to right now were a bunch of me's. Lost and bound, willing to die at the stops, the stages of the work of the enemy. We used to brag on how good the dope was. We used to brag on how many days we had been up. We used to brag on how many years we did in prison. I believe this is a time that we need to brag and boast in Jesus. And if you ain't got nothing to brag upon Jesus today, brag upon what He did 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, what He's doing right now. Brag about Jesus. Brag about Jesus. Because He's the one stop, the only stop that you need to make in your life that will take you through the many stops of the progress and the process within your life and my life. We're living in great times right now. See, this message wouldn't have came in good times. It's a message for the hard times. It's a message for those that are grateful for what Jesus did in the taking them out of Egypt, out of bondage. It's a message for people like you and I that have been there and done that and have seen God part the Red Sea, and have seen God do signs, miracles, and wonders in your life, in other lives, all around the world through Victory Outreach. We serve a God that is good, not only in the good times, but in the hard times. And He's able to do something greatest in your hard times than in the good times. I don't know about you, but God is speaking to me. See, this stuff here gets me high. Gets me real high. I'm loaded right now in Jesus. The CCs are flowing through my, we're not just doing a few CCs here, there's some OD stuff in Jesus, amen. They're flowing, the CCs are flowing through my life. I'm injecting you with the gospel, with the cure to the virus of sin. Has nothing to do with the coronavirus. The root of all this is sin, and the enemy got everybody focused on a virus. To keep our eyes off of sin. But the root is sin, the virus of sin. And that has been conquered at the cross. And that one, there is a vaccination, if you want to call it that. It's Jesus. I want you to stand right there in your living room. Amen. We're going to worship the Lord right now. We're going to reflect back on what He did. We don't have to know what's going to take place tomorrow within this virus crisis, because the Word says that tomorrow's not even promised. As we worship the Lord, once again, surrender it all. Surrender it all. It's worth it. Make that stop in your life count.